Hello and welcome to On Design, the show brought to you by the team behind Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated weekly design show. I'm your host, Josh Fennett. Now, each week we raise a wry eye to an aspect of design that we think deserves just a little bit more attention. From overlooked visionaries in the field to clever buildings, great graphic design, and even everyday objects. This week, Monocle's Chiara Rumella traces an outline of the most recognisable of vessels, the humble martini glass.
Every cocktail bar worth its salt will serve drinks in glasses designed to exalt both the look and flavour of their contents. A G&T calls for a highball, a Negroni for a tumbler. Yet how many cocktails can lay a claim to a glass that suits them so well, the very vessel ends up being named after it?
Can I do something for you, Mr. Bond?
Just a drink. A martini, shaken, not stirred.
The martini glass has become the visual synonym for its namesake, an ultra-dry mixture of gin and vermouth. But beyond that, over the years, it has also somehow managed to become the archetypal symbol of the cocktail as a whole. There's a whole universe of glassware out there. But nothing quite screams cocktail like the silhouette of an upside-down cone resting on a thin stem. How the martini glass came to have its distinctive shape is a story that, as is often the case with cocktail-related yarns, remains blurry at the edges. What's for sure is that the martini glass is an heir, or rather an evolution, of the rather unimaginatively named cocktail glass of the 19th century. Roughly the same shape as its descendant, the cocktail glass was slightly shorter and narrower. The martini glass's wider top was designed to release the aromas of the gin, and its steep sides were meant to prevent it from separating from the vermouth. They also helped prop up the olive stick, the quintessential martini garnish. A thinner, longer stem prevented the clutch of a hand from warming up the cocktail, best enjoyed ice cold. Legend has it that the martini glass's wide rim was also designed to fit in with the political climate. In Prohibition-era 1920s America, a glass that allowed for easy spilling and emergency discarding of forbidden fluids was considered a bonus and not a faulty design.
Well, if you gotta go, that's the way to do it.
Follow me.
What we do know for sure is that the martini glass fit in perfectly with the aesthetics of the Roaring Twenties. Against the convoluted goblets of yore, its streamlined, geometric shape was the image of modernity.
What'll it be, sir?
Booze.
Sorry, sir, we only serve coffee.
Coffee?
Scotch coffee, Canadian coffee, sour mash coffee.
Perhaps that's the reason why the martini glass became such a symbol. For one, Prohibition had in itself redefined how people spent time together in a social context. With bars selling alcohol outlawed, drinking went from being the preserve of the public, beer bottle swinging man, to the privacy of the home, where the cocktail became the drink of both men and women. But perhaps more importantly, as the decades went by, the minimalism of the glass and of the martini cocktail itself became, in its own way, one of the many facets of modernism. After a mid-century heyday of glamour, when its silhouette matched the elegance and style of the middle-class dinner parties, the martini glass's golden era began to wane. Like other products of modernism, from literature to furniture, the martini glass came to signify elitism and privilege against the prevailing democratic spirit. Come the 70s, cocktails started turning colourful, fruit-filled and garnished with garish umbrellas. Begone, days of the dry martini! Enter the tequila sunrise, the Long Island, and the sex on the beach.
I make drinks so sweet and snazzy, the iced tea, the kamikaze, the orgasm,
oh, hands up the merchandise,
the death spasm.
The Singapore sling, the ding-a-ling. Dale! America, you're just devoted to every flavor I've got. But if you want to get loaded, why don't you just order a shot?
Gone Too was a stuffy dinner party where hosts would carefully mix drinks in the kitchen. The cocktail had to be prepared quickly and efficiently at a club's bar counter. It had to be held with hips swaying at a party. The martini glass's easily spilled contents weren't suited for the dance floor. It was, however, rolled out for a few questionable fruit variants of the classic drink and the brightly coloured cosmopolitan. But come the 90s and noughties, the martini glass seemed rather old-fashioned. Could the current vogue for mock speakeasy bars mean a true resurgence of the martini glass's cool? Its tendency to spill has never been fixed, but perhaps this is for the better. The martini glass simply would not be the icon it is if it looked any different.
Our very special thanks to Chiara Rimella there for those musings on the history and perhaps a buff future too for the martini glass. You've been listening to On Design, a Monocle 24 production from the team behind Section D. You can listen to the full half-hour show on Tuesdays at 1900 London time, or you lucky things, download the podcast at any time you like. Do remember that you can always uncover more design delights in the pages of Monocle magazine. I'm Josh Fennett, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.